than we normally are on a Sunday morning. For some of you, this may be a first. For others, it may be old hat. I can tell you that last year was my first year of coming to Reservoir Park for a time of worship, and it was a different experience for me. But it was one that I really enjoyed. And I pray that this morning that you not only enjoy the time out here in God's nature, but you enjoy your time with your brothers and sisters, and that we are open to what God has for us here. After last year, I'll be honest with you, I wondered many times throughout the year, what would it be like for us to worship outside every week? What if that were a regular occurrence in our lives? Would others come and join us? Do you think that people would be more open to come and join us in an open environment than coming inside of our building? I can't answer that. But I honestly have thought about it. Another thought I had was, when we are here in God's outdoors, we are standing in the midst of all that God has created for us. Look around you. Look at the beauty of the blue sky. Look at the trees and the grass. And as I look over here, to me, that is just such a serene spot there by the little creek that is running through here, the shade of the trees, to look and see the sun shining in different spots. What a beautiful setting God has given us. And then I think about our buildings and how beautiful our buildings are as we come inside and we look at the stained glass windows that tell us a story. As we look at the altars that remind us that Christ put his life on the line for each of us. As we look at the cross and remember that he hung on that cross for each of us. But when we're in the great outdoors, we're in the midst of what God created for us. But we're inside our buildings, we're in the midst of what man created for us. Don't get me wrong, I know we need buildings. I can't imagine sitting outside in a worship service in the middle of winter when the temperatures are sub-zero and the snow is falling around us. It probably wouldn't be good for us to be out in those elements, would it? However, I want to ask you a question, and I want you to honestly think about this. Do your hearts feel different when you're in the setting of God's creation than it does being surrounded by brick and mortar? Mine does. When I'm out in God's creation and I look around and I see all the beauty that he has given me, of how he has cared for us through what he has created for us. In Psalm 24, we're told, the earth is the Lord's and all that's in it, the world and those who live in it. It's you and I's responsibility to care for this world that God has given us. It's you and I's responsibility to care for the people who live in this world. If you borrow something from someone, how do you care for it? Do you care for it in a different manner than if it were something that were your own? Do you take extra care with it to make sure that when you return it, that it is given back in at least the same condition, if not better, than when you borrowed it? couple weeks ago, we stopped at our daughter's house in Altoona, and my son-in-law was staining the deck of a trailer. And when I asked him what he was doing, he said that a friend of his had lent him that trailer. And so before he returned it, he thought that he would stain the wooden floor as a means of thank you to his friend who lent it to him. So he was returning it somewhat in a better condition than when he borrowed it. Have you ever done something like that? Have you ever borrowed something from someone, but in order to say thank you, that you did something over and above of just returning the item? We need to think about this world that God has given to us, because it doesn't belong to us. It belongs to the Lord. So have we given thought of how it is that we care for this world that God has given us? Do we live in this world just not stopping to think about how it is that we treat this world? Or do we live in this world wanting to leave it in better shape when we're done with it? I know here in Tyrone, how many of you actually live in Tyrone? There is recycling. I was talking to a gentleman one day who told me he doesn't recycle. He said, I just put everything in one trash bag and let it go to the garbage. He said, I'm not worried about recycling. You and I live in a disposable world, don't we? Much of what we have, we just take and we throw away when we're done with it. How many of you can remember, and I'm dating myself now, when you would get drinks in glass bottles, and you would return those glass bottles, and you would get a penny or maybe two for them, 5 cents, and those bottles would be reused. They would be recycled. Do you know the main reason that that was changed and we went to plastic bottles and aluminum cans? Cheaper. It made more money for the companies that were producing those. There also wasn't a chance of that product, a bottle being broken and that product being lost. Again, money. So it came out to be a higher profit for companies to use plastic bottles and aluminum cans. But do you know that most plastics take 200 to 400 years to decompose? Did you know that? I didn't know that until I started to do research for my sermon, that it takes that long. So once again, the world is the Lord and everything in it. So how can you and I be more mindful to keep this world so beautiful, the world that you and I live in? But I think a more important question is, how do we care for the people who live in this world? As we heard in our gospel reading that Riley and Griffin read for us this morning, we hear that Jesus is teaching in the synagogue on a Sabbath day, and that he heals a woman. Now, we need to understand what the Sabbath means to the Jewish people. It's sad to say that I think for us Protestants, the Sabbath does not have the meaning that it has for the Jewish people, even in our world today. It's an important day, and for most of us, we observe the Sabbath by going to church, but we don't observe the Sabbath like the Jewish people do. I know that I have told those who are in Bible study with me this, but so I asked them to bear with me. But I used to work with a Jewish gentleman, and he shared with me some of the customs even held today. And a couple of those customs were, one was all the food was prepared before the Sabbath, and it was left sitting out. It had to be food that could be left out, because opening the refrigerator door was considered work. And so they didn't have any food that had to be refrigerated. Everything was left out, and there was no foods that had to be cooked because, of course, cooking was working. And that may seem a little strange to us, but even stranger was the fact that they would rip all the toilet paper the day before the Sabbath started and lay it on the back of the toilet tank, because ripping toilet paper was considered work. Now, we're talking about that being today, in our world today, in a Jewish family. So can you imagine what it was like for those who were in Jesus's day? It was a holy day that was to be lived to the letter of the law. Not only the law that God had given Moses, but also the law that the priests and the Sadducees had created. So for Jesus, what better day was there to heal someone than the Sabbath day? And yet that's not how the people saw it, was it? The leader of the synagogue was offended. It made him angry. How could Jesus heal someone on the Sabbath? In fact, he said there are 6 other days on which work should be done. That's when you should have came to be healed. Come on those days. Why do you think this leader was so upset?
Jealous?
Do you think maybe it made him look like a fool that Jesus would heal on the Sabbath? Was it possibly because he feared losing his power, his position in the synagogue? Or do you think it was because he truly didn't understand? But what does Jesus do? Jesus calls this man out as a hypocrite. How often have you heard that word associated with the church of today? Many, I'm sure. How often have we ever associated that word with ourselves? I would say probably not very often. And yet, it's probably true more often than we would want it to be. It's probably true more often than we would want it to be. If we really admitted it. If we really took a long and hard look at ourselves. But I only want us to look at one aspect of our lives this morning in regard to this. How often do we look down on, do we turn away from, or do we fail to bring healing to another human being because of what we think? That's exactly what this man, this leader in the synagogue did. He failed to see that the healing that came from Jesus was a miracle because of what he thought. How often is that you and I? Now, when I'm talking about healing, I'm talking about us bringing the love and the grace of Jesus Christ to another human being. In Scripture, we are told people will become selfish and there will be distressing times. I think those times are upon us. When we think only of ourselves, we're failing to be the people that Jesus Christ is calling us to be. I think we often say, I care about others. How many of you care about others? I would say every single one of us here care about others. But the question is, are we willing to step outside of our comfort zones to really care for others. See, there's a huge difference. There is a huge difference in caring about others and caring for others. When people hear us say, well, I care about others, but then we fail to take the action that shows that we really care for others, they see us as hypocrites. And it's sad to say, but I think probably Christ sees us as hypocrites too. See, everything we do and everything we say shows others who Jesus Christ is in our life. Everything we say and we do will show others, or should show others, the love and the grace of the Lord who is ruler of our lives. And so for you and I, what we need to do is we need to meet people where they are, and we need to care for them. And in caring for them, that's how we build relationships with people. And it's only when we are able to build those relationships that we are truly able to offer them Jesus Christ. As we heard in our gospel reading this morning, this lady was bound by Satan for 18 years. How many people in our world are bound by Satan? Maybe not bound where we can physically see them bent over, but bound in ways that keep them from coming to know who Jesus Christ is in their lives. You and I don't know that number, and you know what? There are a lot of people who are really good at hiding the fact that they're bound. But Christ has called us to love one another. So I'm asking that we not put to shame anyone, and that we not be ashamed of who Christ is in our lives, but that we would care not only for all that God has given us in this world, but we would care for one another, so that the crowds around us will be rejoicing at the wonderful things that Christ is doing in our lives, and that we will be open to allow God's Holy Spirit to lead us to the one who needs cared for. Let us pray. Our gracious and most loving God, we do thank you that someone cared for us in a way that brought us to the saving grace of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Lord, we pray that we would put ourselves aside, and we would not limit our thinking, but instead we would trust you and allow you to lead us to the one who is the Savior of the world. Amen.